Three, two, one. Oh, I can't NFL again. No, you are there. I thought you died. You looked like you flatlined. Right. Okay. Right. Three, two, one. I still can't NFL. Was you counting in? Yeah, your thing just looks flat. Oh my god. Like literally 1 second, it was like, yeah, my name's Philip. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now, guys? Right, yeah, that's fine. Right, let's try this again. You ready? Three, two, one. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of the Retro Gaming Dads podcast. As is custom... can't even talk. Customary. Fuck's sake. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of the Retro Gaming Dads podcast. As this is our first official episode, I thought it'd be customary to go around and introduce ourselves, and maybe we can talk about what our first gaming experiences were, what our first console series that we like and been brought up with. So first of all, my name's Barry, and together we are three guys hurtling towards middle age at increasingly greater speeds each year, it seems, and still play video games. So first of all, we'll start with you, Anthony. So what was it that got you into gaming? Well, both of those series are continuing today. You've obviously got Pokemon, but the Dirt series is a continuation of Colin McRae that started on the original PlayStation. Well, Colin McRae was it Colin McRae or V Rally Phil that we used to play and chuck our own CDs into the PlayStation to play our own music during races? Was it? Yeah, I remember coming round yours, playing a bit of V Rally then, or what Colin McRae, whichever it was, while you put in your Spice Girls album, you know, listen to some banging tunes as we're racing around, drifting around corners, going the wrong way up the track, as you do as children. So were these the sort of experiences that you had then, Anthony? Maybe. Oh, so you also listened to Spice Girls as well. I'll have to pass. You called it, Phil. We knew he'd talk about Spyro at some point. Sorry, did you just say you threw your controller through the TV screen? Oh, right. I was going to say, in the 90s, those TV screens, throwing a controller at them ain't going to do anything. Yeah. So you probably got into gaming like 98 then? Is that about right? Because I think that's when Pokemon came out in the Game Boy Color. Right. And go on, Phil, what was your first experience to video games? Which I then proceeded to copy from you, as the vicious cycle of life continues. Brilliant music. God-awful game design, though. Any game where, when you start, you're, especially on a 2D side-scroller, your instinct is run right. Go right to win. Shadow of the Beast, no, go left. Yes, you did. No, you did. Because I picked... increasingly harder enemies, and I think you may get to a point where you can't progress because you haven't got a certain item, like a key maybe, which you need to get from the dungeon that you get from going left. But as Phil says, it starts the game with you facing right. There's no indication saying go left. Oh yeah, for the time, I believe the music was sampled in a few singles as well, if I remember right. I think so. I definitely could be wrong on that though. I don't know, but. Later games have similar sort of layout. So, for example, fantastic game Symphony of Night. That's a lot more free flowing. Free flowing than Shadow of the Beast was. But even Symphony of Night knew start you facing right, you run right into Dracula's castle. Then you decide where you want to go from there. Shadow of the Beast, didn't it? It just plonked you right in the middle of loads of enemies in a field. And went, there you go. Good luck. I have no idea. A lot of early games like that, though, were... They're not like teams nowadays. They were very small teams. Maybe like a coder and an artist, perhaps. Yeah. Oh, another fantastic Amiga game, Extreme Violence. Playing that as a child just to see what at the time we thought was over-the-top gore. Nowadays just looks like someone used the red spray can tool on MS Paint. Oh, yeah, we played this. When was it? About a year or two ago? Yeah, it definitely feels a lot longer than that. Yeah, I actually think you might have watched us play it. it's a game. Yeah, it looks awful. Top down shooter. One hit, you're dead. And is it first to? Yeah, it can only be played by two people. That's the one. Yeah. It's not just grey background, it's grey foreground, grey scenery. The only bit of colour is in the characters and the blood. Oh, yeah, yeah. Bear in mind, this is before even the original Mortal Kombat came out. Oh, does he still actually have one of my old Game Boys? For those that don't know, and likely won't know, Phil's dad has a habit of, should we say, liberating other people's Game Boys to play Tetris. Well, yeah, I believe he took two of mine. I think he took my Game Boy Advance and my Game Boy Advance SP. Well, at least he owns something. Cyborg Justice, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love that game, but it has not aged well. It is very, very clunky.
No.
My first experience of that game was renting it from a Top Cat rental store. I paid £3, got that and a R-Type for the Master System, and got to rent them for 3 days. That's when I first played Cyborg Justice. Well, I always remember the guy turning up. Was it Monday evenings? He turned up with a boot full of Mega Drive games, and you pay, what was it, like £5 to rent it for the week? Yeah. I'm sure that was a completely legitimate business venture that he was in dealing with there. Yeah, imagine that now. Someone drives up in their estate car and goes, "Hey, kids, come over here." No, somehow I don't think so. In all fairness, Phil, you know, if anything dubious was like that, was going to happen when we were kids. We were ugly kids. We were fine. Yeah. No. Well, retro wasn't even retro then, so. So. Well, one idea I was thinking is, why don't we start our own book club? But instead of, you know, boring old books, the linear narrative, how about we choose a retro game, we spend the month playing through the game, and then we can discuss it at the end of the month? That might be an idea for the future. Don't worry. Some of the games will pick. They won't even have multiplayer. Or it'll be that when you... I remember picking up some old like Master System and Mega Drive games, and you're like, "Oh, it's two-player." And then you find out it's actually, oh yeah, player one plays, and then player two plays afterwards. Go on. No. Right, going back to the man in a car that turns up with games in his boot, I once asked Phil, "Do you know what? I've got the Mega Drive. I only owned two games, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Rocket Knight Adventures. I got to the point where Sonic the Hedgehog 2, I could complete it with all of the emeralds using my feet. And Rocket Knight Adventure, I could complete the entire game without taking a single hit." So, to say I was yearning for another game was an underestimation. I'd heard about this game, something called a role-playing game. It was Phantasy Star 4. And I said to Phil, try and get that. See if he's got this Fantasy Star 4 I keep seeing in the magazines. If not, something like it, a role-playing game. Anyway, the Monday turns up. I asked my parents, can I ring Phil? Can I see if he's got this game? And they're like, yes, but you have to wait till after 6, so we don't have to pay for it. So 6 o'clock comes around. I ring him up. Phil, did you get it? No, but I got something better. The Immortal. I'm like, The Immortal. Oh, this sounds amazing. Next day in school, he passes me it. You know, sat all day in school, just waiting for Half Free to roll around. I get home, put in my Mega Drive, turn it on. 10 seconds later, game over. I'm like, what is this? Try it again. 10 seconds later, game over. I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking 2 steps forward and falling down a hole and getting a game over. So anyway, get round the hole, go through the next one. Oh, there's an enemy. This is going to be epic. Game over. What's going on with this game? Anyway, short story, don't play the game at all. It's absolutely brutal. It's really clunky and it is no fun. And it was a waste of a fiver. So basically, he saw you come in and thought, oh my God, finally someone's going to rent this game. My £5. No, it was my £5. I paid for the rental. I asked him to get me a good game and he got me that. And between that and the Sonic the Hedgehog hot chili sauce, which I will never forgive Phil. Definitely in primary school, maybe year 7 high school. So like, well, I went round, his dad made hot dogs. Hot dogs. Phil goes, do you want some tomato sauce? Yeah. Do you want some Sonic the Hedgehog tomato sauce? I'm like, oh, hell yeah, definitely. Anyway, I'm not a big fan of spicy foods. And it was chili sauce. And I was like, nope, you ruined it. He almost single-handedly ruined not only hot dogs, but Sonic the Hedgehog for me in one evening. Yes, but it was close. Things could have gone a different way. I might have been talking about Spyro, but no. So, we've got a bit off track. Was we talking about Anthony's first experience, or was this yours? Oh, but on to mine. Right, okay. Well, some of the first gaming experiences I had was my auntie who had a couple of Amigas, various like all-in-one systems, and I always remember at Christmas she'd bring down the same one. It was a Pong machine that had 10 games in one, and all 10 games were Pong. They just give them different titles. So game one was Pong, game two was tennis, game three was ice hockey, and then once you got to game five, I think it just duplicated them, except instead of against the computer, it was against another player. And that was my first gaming experience, and I'll be honest, it was intriguing, nothing more. But then she started bringing down the Amiga 500, and I started playing games like The Karate Kid on it. And I always remember like the little bonus stage where you've got to catch the fly with the chopsticks, and you have the little battles, and that got me more and more into gaming. Eventually, my parents got us Commodore 64, had a few games on that, but it wasn't until I bought my first console, the Sega Master System, that I really started getting into games. So I saw this game, Sonic the Hedgehog. That looks pretty cool. You know, I want that, but I can't afford a Mega Drive. So I saved up my Christmas money, saved up my birthday money, and went to a... So I saved up my Christmas money, saved up my birthday money, and went to a pharmacy called Boots, who, oddly enough, sold video games and consoles. And I remember picking up a Sega Master System. Yeah, pharmacies. Yeah. Boots used to sell video games. Well, you think that's bad? Yeah, for some reason, pharmacies at one point were one of, like, the places you went to get video games. Yeah, Boots, you know, the Boots where you go to get your meal deal and your paracetamol. No, Electronic Boutiques actually existed around this time. It wasn't Electronic Boutique. I think it was Game Zone, was it called? I think it was Game Zone, Electronic Boutique, and then it went to Game, or Game Station. But, yeah, well, in Rain Hill... I'll actually edit that bit out. So, in the little village where I live, there's a tiny little pharmacy. It's like, it's small. It's probably not much bigger than most people's living rooms. They used to sell Game Gear, Game Boy, and Game Boy and Game Gear games in the store. So you could just go, you know, while you're waiting for your prescription. I remember looking through and seeing all these Game Gear titles, Game Boy titles, and that. And that seemed normal until, you know, obviously looking back at it now, you're thinking, why were pharmacies the place that you went to buy games consoles and games? It was an odd time. Yes. So, like, they'd have a selection of toys. I think they were seen more as toys rather than, like, their own distinct category like they are nowadays. So they'd have, like, do you know one of those spinning racks that you usually have near the door? And they'd have toys on. So it'd literally have, like, a cheap water pistol, an Etch-a-Sketch, some little Kinect 4 ripoff, and then a Sega Game Gear. It was weird the way it was just bundled in with these cheap toys. But obviously, your games were, like, at the time, probably about £30 each, upwards. So, yeah, so it was a bit weird the way it's laid out, but I'm glad I've blown your mind about that. So, yeah, so I saved me money, went in, couldn't afford the, I think it was about £130 for a Sega Mega Drive at the time. However, they had the Sega Master System, which came with Sonic the Hedgehog and Alex Kidd for £40. So that's what I ended up using my money on. And as started a long trend with me, I bought it. They discontinued the damn thing, which wasn't too bad. It was a few years later, but up until maybe the GameCube and the Xbox, I think I was always consistently at the trail end of a console's lifespan, weren't I? Yes, with the exception of the Dreamcast, I got in there early, and it's still discontinued a year later. Oh god, yeah. Well, saying that, I bought the GameCube, but that still died, didn't it, before its time. So maybe it did carry on a bit longer. Not this time. As I said, like earlier on, when Phil got me the Immortal, I only owned two games. One was the packing game with the console. One was a game I got maybe a year later, and I'd had the Mega Drive for a couple of years at this point. The PlayStation was out. I know that much. I didn't have very many games at all, which I think was the same for most people in those days. So yeah, we had something similar. Again, we had like a little tiny Top Cat rental where you could go in and rent a few games as well as VHSs. I think that was a lot more normal at the time. Especially most games were, you know, even your bigger games like at the time, say like Sonic the Hedgehog, you can get through that game in an hour or so easy. Well, yeah, but even they weren't that common. Even later on, I believe the original Zelda on the NES was the first game with a battery backed up save. But even before that, like again, the original Mario Brothers, if you know what you're doing, you can get through that game pretty quick. A couple of hours. Oh, yeah. The speedrunning, some of them are absolutely insane watching them. Yeah, so, well, that was the first console I got, the Sega Master System. I think that was about early 92 it must have been. That would have been my first games console. My first system that ran games was the Commodore 64, and that would have been about 1988, I believe. And I had a few games on them, but they were definitely more diversions. It wasn't the purpose of the console. But yes, you couldn't even turn on and load a game on cassette tape. I give you like 2 minutes, you couldn't find the on switch. But in terms of gaming memories, some of my favorite ones is, again, going back to like the Mega Drive. So like, I think they were the fourth generation of consoles, was it? The Mega Drive. I remember borrowing games from friends, as you did, because you didn't have money, and playing Road Rash 2 with my dad. That was always good fun. My dad enjoyed playing racing games, and there was nothing better than being a 10-year-old kid playing Road Rash with your dad and kicking him into an oncoming car just as you cross the finish line. Especially if he's been in first place the entire race. In all fairness, I have a similar story with Mortal Kombat on the Master System. On the Mega Drive it was. Playing it with my brother, who's 5 years younger than me. And again, at this point, would have been about 6 years old. And I would have been about 10, 11. And all he done was got in the corner and just kept doing roundhouse kicks. And I could not get close to him. And he managed to beat me by just holding back and pressing kick, 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 kick. Nothing else. I managed to beat me because I just couldn't get close to him. And even when I didn't just keep jumping in to try and hit him, the time had run out. He'd have hit me. He'd have won. Yeah. So not full memory. Not a full memory, that one. Yeah. Yeah. Being cheap and optimizing the fun out of games. I can tell you a time that you've done it to me. Playing Bomberman and using the skill where you switch places with the other player and you'll plant a bomb next to yourself, trap yourself in the corner, then switch places with me. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was playing Bomberman for nearly 3 decades up until I played it against you. And you just killed it. Yeah, but when we turned them off, you were moaning. Oh, I don't like this game anymore. It's too hard. Yeah, you was. Oh yeah, many a Caterpie were a sacrifice to the great digital void in that. Yeah, you know when you're like top of the food chain at high school when you go, I've got a Mew. Do you want to dupe it? Well. Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. Nothing's changed. See, it's quite worrying that he says this story and he goes, oh, I remember when I was a child, this happened. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Halo. Yeah, yeah. I was only playing that like, oh, 20 years ago. Yeah. Well, yeah, 2001, I want to say Halo came out. Yeah, no, Halo 3? No, Halo 4 was 8 years ago. Oh, right, I thought you meant like a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think that was about 2007. Yeah, they had quite a few. Was it maybe 16 original Xboxes? Or were the Xbox 360s? And they were all linked up, a game of Blood Gulch, you know, every man for themselves. So we thought, we'll sit down, you know, have a little play of Halo, you know, for old time's sake. Anyway, half an hour passed, we're the top two scorers. And then we're running around shooting other players, you know, racking up the kills, like by a considerable margin, wasn't it? Yeah, until we hear this little 5-year-old kid or someone going, daddy, the players keep killing me. And then we look around and realize, like, yeah, we're good, like 25 years older than every other player playing at the time. Yeah. You take no prisoners on that game. I used to own two original Xboxes, and what we'd do is me and Phil would be on one Xbox and the second one would be in my brother's bedroom. So linked together, we'd have a 2v4 usually, weren't it? For my brother and three of his mates versus us two. And again, we'd absolutely dominate. And I just enjoyed that. I like you go, oh no, there's four of them. You like, pull out the Magnum, not a problem. Yeah, both kill each other at the same time. Well, do you guys know that you can actually play Halo, the original Halo, in a LAN game with an original Xbox, an Xbox 360, an Xbox One, and an Xbox Series S or X. All connected together through a LAN, and they'll still work. Generation, for me, I don't even have to think about it. It's the fifth generation. So that's the Sega Saturn, the PlayStation, and the Nintendo 64. I think that generation just seemed massive in the improvements it brought from the previous one, like the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive. And I do think some of the best games and even series were born in that generation. So you've got a game. I do think that generation, the sixth generation, I think that was when first-person shooters became viable on consoles. Absolutely. Yeah, not just Halo, you also had series like Time Splitters, for example. Again, another fantastic first-person shooter. Like, previous generation, so on the Saturn, I had Duke Nukem, I had Quake. Brilliant ports. Not nowhere near as good as the PC versions. But fantastic ports. And obviously, you've got GoldenEye on the N64. For as great as that game was, it was only a foundation for what was to come. As much as I'd love it to be able to go back to it now, play it, enjoy it, I can't. It's the mainly the controls just haven't aged as well. We always go over this. The controller, I have no issue with. It's how it's designed, looks weird, but works well. No, you do not need free hands. Oddly enough, though, the semi-sequel to GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, you could actually use two N64 controllers and play it like a dual analog stick sort of game. No, you don't need to. It's just an option. In terms of games or services? So obviously services barely existed in the 90s. You know, you had the Sega Channel, I think in the UK, I think that was pretty much it, wasn't it? The Sega Channel, and that was it. Yeah, my grandparents actually got it as part of their package, and I went round with my Mega Drive. I was like, oh, let's connect this up, and like, oh yeah, I got this weird Sega cartridge thing. I binned it, though. I was like, no, why did you bin it? Why did you bin it? It's the only reason I come to visit.
I think the scope can get in the way a lot. So a lot of the games I've been enjoying on my Xbox recently is things like Sonic Mania, the Wonder Boy games. I've been playing a lot of Undermine, which I know both of you have played as well, as we discussed it our last podcast. The scope of them, it seems very focused and enjoyable. Sonic Mania, I hope next year for Sonic's 30th anniversary, they make another Sonic Mania style game. I'll be bitterly disappointed if they don't. That's why I was about to bring up playing through Cyberpunk. And while I've not come across anything that's game-breaking, I've come across a lot of just lack of polish. It's too ambitious for its own good. I'm not saying lack of polish in that it looks bad in screenshots or still images or in small sections. It looks absolutely amazing. But once you've been playing it for half an hour, you see things you can't unsee. Let's just say. Well, I've seen worse. Yes, so will we. Well, no, that's just a bad game. Whereas Cyberpunk is a good game, just hampered by being too ambitious, I think. Well, we've all played Streets of Rage 4, and I think we all played River City Girls. Yep, played Scott Pilgrim, which hopefully will be coming back this month. With multiplayer, yeah, and you won't have to pay for it this time. They are very concise games, and I don't think any of us would say they are bad games or suffer from the amount of ambition that was put behind them. No? Whereas, even going back to Halo, I'm a big fan of Halo, we all are. That E3 showing of it was rather lackluster. Thankfully they've delayed it, but then again they delayed Cyberpunk repeatedly. Well, Halo 2 was just when it was done. I don't think it was so much delayed, it was just stop asking us, it's done when it's done. Well, even then, Halo 2 was a game that was hampered by its own ambition. Again, if you go back to some of the older E3 footage, there's one where it shows Master Chief fighting through a city, showing off all these new effects and the scope of the game. The game never lived up to that in the end. And infamously, it just ended. It just, you know, oh, we're going back to Earth, come on. And it's like, Chief, what are you doing? I'm finishing this fight. Credits. And you're like, no, it's a joke. There must be another level. No, there wasn't. And not only that, the next game was years away and wasn't even on the same system. Again, that's another game, just same issues. As I say, if you can see it in the distance, you could get to it. No, you couldn't. It was an extremely linear game. I don't think it was any more open world than, say, the original Halo. Yeah. Do you think, though, a lot of... Do you think nowadays, when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out, and it was, you know, open world, and you got to go around Liberty City, and it was, you know, 3D, it went top down, that was really impressive. I feel like games nowadays, open world is just a tick box for them. A game I do like, Burnout Paradise, it's an open world game. It doesn't need to be an open world game. There is nothing wrong with Burnout 3, Burnout Takedown, selecting a track from a menu and just playing that track. It doesn't have to be open world exploration to find these races. It's same with Forza Motorsport. Works perfectly well with menus. Forza Horizon, they have built the game around the fact that it's open world. It doesn't feel like it's just something that's been shoehorned into it for a marketing reason. Yeah, but not only that. Or you can just smash up Edinburgh. You know, if you really want to. Although, in all fairness, you'd never notice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Especially when those boost pads launch you off the track. Oh, yeah, that's always fun. But then... But I finished him first, and that's all that matters. But then again, do you think you had more fun playing, maybe not that particular race, but playing Forza as opposed to when we play Micro Machines? How hard were we laughing playing Micro Machines? Again, the scale of the game is so much smaller. But going back, when we were playing Extreme Violence, literally, they could not make the game any more basic. If they did, it'd be Pong. Again, though, Well, you can't even play it on your own. Well, do you think that we should agree then, and perhaps that the magic that's been lost, it maybe is the massive scope of games nowadays. You know, it always needs to be bigger, it needs to look better than previous games. But do you think the magic that's been lost is the loss of local co-op or even local competitive gaming? Because a lot of the games that we've discussed, the way we've said that we've played and we're having a really good laugh at, that the games where we've physically been together playing them, like Micro Machines, like Extreme Violence, when we were playing Battletoads, you know, we didn't even complete the game. And again, I don't know about you two, but I wanted to put my controller through that screen a few times. But we were laughing along with wanting to cause serious harm to each other and the TV. But do you think even when we play online, I don't think we get that same experience. Things aren't as funny. Except on Minecraft when you kick Anthony down a hole, shouting, "This is Sparta," after he spent like 2 minutes climbing to the top. Yeah, just like a gentle. I think you would have done that anyway. It was basically the equivalent of playing Worms and using the prod to kill the last worm. It was just like a little boop, and off he goes. But it was so harsh, and he hit it so hard, his item bounced all over the place. But then again, he previously did laugh at me when he went, "Oh yeah, there's a block of water down here." And like, sorry, there's water at the bottom of this chasm. So I jumped in and managed to hit the only block that wasn't water. And again, died, bounced my items, never found them again. And he said, Anthony spent about an hour laughing at that. He just didn't stop. Oh, sorry, what was your generation? I can't remember. The current one? So the PlayStation 5 and Series, Xbox Series. Why? What games on them? Exactly, that's my argument. See, I also like the constraints that were on developers made them be a lot more creative. I feel now that a lot of developers just think, you know, they've got all this power behind them, behind these consoles and modern PCs. I don't know. No, I just don't feel that the current slash, excuse me, I'll say that again. I don't feel like the current slash previous generation, like the Xbox One and the Series X, have much to offer that wasn't there for the Xbox 360. I do feel like change has slowed down massively since like the mid-2000s. Well, exactly. Going from like the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive to the PlayStation, Saturn, Nintendo 64, the change was massive. Now, don't get me wrong, some companies got it spot on. Nintendo, taking Mario from 2D to 3D, they got it spot on from day one. A lot of companies, Bubsy, didn't. Well, in all fairness, Bubsy wasn't that great in 2D anyway, so. Really? See, the issue I have with Bubsy is they tried to emulate the speed of Sonic, which, don't get me wrong, it's a really fast game. There's a lot of blind jumps, and one hit and you are dead. At least Sonic, you know, you got hit, you lose your rings, and then you have the chance to scramble for a couple of more rings. Bubsy, it's not so much that it's hard because it's a difficult game, which I have no issue with. It's hard because it seems to be a very poorly planned out game. Well, yeah, that's the thing with opinions, isn't it? We all have our own. Except Phil's wrong. Yeah, that'll be edited out. Well, so now that you've got to know a bit about us and we've introduced ourselves a bit more, I don't know where I was going with that. I'll let one of you two think of something to end because I'm just going to mute my iPad because Kerry keeps texting me. And hopefully next time we'll actually have something of substance to talk about. Right, thanks for watching, and hopefully we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll hear... Fucking hell, this is hard, this. That's what she said. It's a good job these are all on separate audio tracks as well. Well, thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll see you soon.